Welcome to the Haverford College Athletics Podcast. My name is Warren Croxton, Assistant Sports Information Director. This podcast is here for fans of Haverford College Athletics to get a better understanding of student athletes, coaches, and administrators in the athletic department. This episode of the podcast features men's cross country runner Charlie Marquardt. The senior was selected as the Centennial Conference Runner of the Week on Monday after finishing as the highest non-Division I affiliated runner in the Mainline Invitational last week. Charlie is a three-time All-American and discusses how he got into running when he was younger, his time at Haverford College, and what his plans are going forward. Here's how the interview went.
Charlie, how does one get involved with running cross-country when they're younger? What kind of got you involved in running?
I think it started when I was really young. My dad ran a bunch of marathons when he was, after college, and, you got, finishing medals for marathons. And when I was a little kid, I thought that those meant, they were all silvery, so I thought he, got second in, a bunch of marathons, and so he's, really good. I just didn't know what I was talking about. And then in middle school, I was, one of the better kids at school at the mile run, so I thought, this is something I could do, probably. And then when high school rolled around, I kind of wanted to go up for the cross-country team, but my dad said he got to train over the summer if you want to do that, and in Los Angeles, where I'm from, summer is just hard to train in if you've never done it before. So I said, whatever, I'll just do speech and debate, which is, something that I thought I wanted to do. I did that first semester, and I was like, wow, this is just not what I want to do. So I went for the track team in the spring, and it was a lot more fun. It was fun to, do a sport. I tried for the sprint team first and got cut. I wasn't a regular sprinter at the time, but then I got involved in the distance, because if you can't do sprints, then you can do the fields, throws. Obviously, I was going to be a thrower. But I tried distance, and I made a lot of friends there. But I think also, for all of freshman year, I was, not very good, at all. And then I started, if you do distance and track, it's almost like a kind of unwritten rule that you also do cross country. And so when I started training for cross country over the summer, I actually started getting, pretty good. I tried to I almost made the varsity squad, and we came from a pretty good school, so making varsity was a big deal. But, once that cross country season was over and I was flirting with making varsity, I was this is what I want to do.
Who were some of your influences in helping you get better?
Obviously my coaches, at my high school, Lalo Diaz and Frank Mesa, they're, very good coaches. They've coached many state championship teams in California. And then a lot of people who are kind of my seniors by a few years. There's some guys, Mark Matuzak, who was a national champion over 2 miles, and David Torrance, who's currently on the pro circuit. He got fifth at USA's in the 5K just this past summer. Those guys, and they've all, got out of high school, they've all done really well, run sub-4 in the mile, all that stuff. And then even guys who are a lot closer to me, my friend J.P. Slater, who was a senior when I was a freshman. I didn't know him very well, but he's running professionally for marathons, half marathons now. People who, other guys on the team, Elias Gedeon, who was a national class runner in high school. Those guys, obviously have all done great things, and I'm just kind of, looking for my opportunity to, be great like them. And I've accomplished that. When I was a freshman, I would have never imagined myself being as good as they were when they were seniors, but ended up, running better than some of them did as seniors in certain events.
So let's go back to the process of looking at colleges. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that attracted you to Haverford?
I think I was just kind of looking. I honestly didn't have a very, I wasn't, set on anything. I wasn't set on a Division I school. I wasn't set on a West Coast or an East Coast school. But I just did some looking around. And actually, the way I heard of Haverford, my mom grew up in New York, and so she still has a bunch of, and went to school on the East Coast, and so she knows a bunch of her friends are still out here. And she asked her friends, what are some good colleges that have, good running programs? And that was just after Haverford won the National Cross Country Championship. So she heard about that, and we put Haverford on my list of just when I toured the East Coast one summer. And when I came here, I realized because it was smaller. I was sort of intimidated almost by the bigness of a lot of schools, kind of Lehigh and Brown and other schools that kind of just were on the trip that were good schools that I had heard of. But then I also met Coach Darnley. He was the, of all the coaches that I like talked to at the time, he was the one who I, you know, who like kind of showed the most interest in me, who was, you know, and that's obviously because like Haverford is a much kind of like more excess school that where you, anyone can run. Like you don't have to be like at Brown, like, oh, we might have to cut you, or like, you know, bigger D1 schools. Like Haverford, we have guys ranging all the way from close to 4 minutes in the mile to over 5 minutes in the mile. Like, that's, you're not going to find that at any D1 school, and like, you know, some D3 school or some D2 and D3 schools, but, you know, less towards the Haverford is all, is good for having, you know, the slow guys, but also all the fast guys as well. And so that appealed to me. I liked the, it wasn't a cutthroat environment, which is what I liked a lot about it. Just like other schools, like I was looking at, just seemed like very big, very competitive, not just to get in the school, but to actually be in this, like, to work within the school, seem very like cutthroat.
How do you balance your life as a student athlete?
The biggest thing that I keep in mind when balancing my life is that the qualities that make you a good student are the same that make you a good athlete. They don't take away from each other. They build on each other. So just in the way that if you want to be a good athlete, you got to eat right, get lots of sleep, and you know, practice every day. Those same things make you a good student, where if you eat right and like sleep enough and like do your work every day, you're going to get better. And they don't need to take away from each other, because obviously eating right and sleeping right, those both apply to the same thing. And balancing the amount of schoolwork you have with the amount of track work you have is sometimes a little difficult. But I don't know, I think track and cross country are one of those sports where it's easier to overtrain than most sports, just because you can spend like 3 hours practicing for you know, another sport, just like shooting hoops, and that's not going to like run down your body. But like if you ran for 3 hours every day, like your body would very quickly like give up on you. So it's almost as if running lends itself to, you know, giving yourself more time to relax, recover, and, you know, read a book, do work, whatever you need to do.
Last year, especially in the cross country, it was kind of a breakout year for you. You know, mm-hmm. winning the conference individual title, winning the team title. What are some of the things that helped you kind of push yourself to big things last year?
I think I knew I had a lot of success coming off of the success I had my sophomore year in track. I had a kind of a breakout year on the track too, and so I know like my cross country season that year was like a little bit subpar by my standards, but coming out, I knew that I had the athletic potential, the ability to run fast. I just need to like piece it together. So, you know, like a couple of early meets, like we ran the meet at Lehigh, and that was, you know, I ran a good time, but I think I could have run a better time there. And so I learned from that and applied. And it's like each meet was a learning experience to like learn how to race better and how to race faster. And by the time I got to the regional meet, it was, you know, we were going into that meet where I just had the expectation, like, I'm going to win this race. I'm supposed to win this race. So I'm just going to do whatever I need to do to win it, which was, you know, counter when people surge or whatever. I think definitely as each meet went on, I learned how to race better, and also just how to, I thought of myself as, like, a better runner. Like, once I had run my personal record at the Princeton meet, which was a really fast time, I was like, that was the first time I broke 25 minutes in the 8K. And I was like, oh, wow, like, now I'm a sub-25 minute 8K runner. Like, I'm really good on the national level. So I should, you know, I had that mindset from then on.
One of my favorite shots that our photographer grabbed was when you, David, and Joel crossed the finish line, and you're just pointing, looking back across the finish line. Is there a way you can describe what that whole day was like for you and the team?
That was a great day. That photo is still my cover photo on Facebook from a year ago. A big part of like of racing is like race visualization. You see yourself, you know, in the race. You gotta see yourself, you know, winning the race or make the move that you knew you had to make. And throughout the race, it was pretty relaxed because it was raining and pouring, so the conditions were kind of slow. So I was like very within myself, and I was looking around a lot, and I saw, you know, that David and Joel were all still there, and, you know, so were the Dickinson and the Hopkins guys, but we were all, like, very present, and I just knew, like, we were going up the hill on the alumni course for the last time, and I was like, this is, you know, like, if David and Joel are still here, we've got it. And so I kind of made my move there, And it was, you know, fun just being within myself, being able to break away from the pack and, like, not feel like I'm killing myself. And I was feeling very good. But there was a sharp 180-degree turn at, like, about 600 meters to go from the finish. And I remember Coach Tom Donnelly was there. And he told me to kind of, like, I had a very large lead by then. And he told me to kind of just cruise it in because I had, like, clearly won it. But he was very excited saying, we've got five in the top 10. And I was like, that's a clincher. And so I remember kind of cruising it in, like taking a couple looks back to see where David and Joel were. And just like knowing that they were distancing themselves from the Hopkins and the Dickinson guys. Like I had this vision in my mind for the past, for the days leading up to the race that we're going to go 1-2-3. Like even if wow. if everything goes the way it's supposed to go, like not like we have to outperform ourselves. If we just like run what we're supposed to do, we're going to go 1-2-3. And just like seeing that actually come true after visualizing it was like amazing. And then seeing like my teammate Soren, who he went from 14th to 6th in I think the last like 3/4 of a mile. And Jimmy Gorman coming up big, like a big top 10 finish. Like he had kind of like been trying to piece together races throughout the season. He finally, you know, he really pulled it through and it counted. That was just a lot of fun to watch, like knowing definitively like that we had, you know, gotten our top 5 within the top 10 was like we definitively won that conference after getting 3rd the year before. And like it was like raining, so everything's like felt really epic and stuff.
Yeah, it felt like a movie.
Oh yeah, and it was, you know, like I was barely even tired afterwards just because of like everything was so great. And
yeah.
Like later in the day I just did like a little shakeout run in the afternoon, and like the rain that by that time like it had passed. And like the sky was all orange and pretty and stuff, and I was like on top of the world.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
What is it like to be a runner under Tom Donnelly? Tom's, you know, obviously he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's coached a lot of All-Americans. What are kind of the biggest things that he teaches you as a person and as a team?
I think a big part of Tom's coaching philosophy, and like this is almost applies to any like team that's like a coach that's been there for a place for a long time, but he's got a program. Like we as a team, every person on the team is like, as you obviously like a freshman, it's you have to adjust to college life, but as you kind of get that into that routine of like your college life and you're running, it's really just about like living the lifestyle of a runner, and you're doing the same program that all of his like, you know, world class runners had do, which is, you know, you get up, you do your run in the morning, and then in the afternoon, you know, you do whatever hard workout Tom has you to do for that day. It's I think he has like a lot, we respect him a lot. We respect like the fact that he's coached all these guys. He has 40 years of coaching experience just at Haverford under his belt. And it's, I think a lot of the top guys like really respect him as a coach, and that kind of like it almost not quite humbles us, but it is sort of exciting to be coached by the same guy who coaches, you know, like Sydney Marie and Marcus O'Sullivan, who have run some very, very fast times. But at the same time, he's just like, you know, he's so friendly with us. Like, you know, he's just around campus. Like, you know, I see him, you know, see him around, talk to him about sports or whatever. It's almost like weird being both his like friend, but also he's like this like crazy coach, like who's like really good. But the way that like that balances, it almost calms you down to like if you're like intimidated by like, oh, I've got this great coach, I should be like giving everything I've got to like his program. It's hard to describe, I think, but I, you know, it's, he's of all the coaches that I talked to, he was, you know, the one that I'm like the happiest with. Just like that couldn't have gotten any better. Like, he sees, because he focused on each person individually, just as he was focusing with, like, me running well in the season and, like, qualifying for nationals and trying to do well there. He was also focusing on Zach Gabor, who graduated last year, who was consistently, like, the slowest runner on the team. But his senior year, he, like, PR'd by, like, a lot, personal record in the 10K. He ran a great 10K race at Widener, and like most of the team was at that race, and we knew that he was running out of his mind. Just having the whole team at this like little tiny meet, it was the last race of the night, and like just being able to like get behind, like the amount of effort that Tom put into coaching that race is the same that he put into when I ran at nationals. And it's just I think that like that amount of like devotion or dedication to his athletes, no matter who they are, is like a big game changer. It's like to attest to how great of a coach he is.
During transitioning back to the school for a minute, what are some of your favorite parts about the campus?
I like the science building. I'm a biology major. We have pretty good labs. I think Haverford is in a very unique place, almost where, you know, we are a liberal arts college, but we have, like, I think very good, like very, like, you know, the hard sciences have very, like, are at home on the campus in, like, a kind of a strange, like, a hard to describe way. It's because, like, the senior thesis is a big part of, like, almost making it so you're, like, we're doing research at a liberal arts college, but, like, research that people would do at a big research university. And so, like, that's kind of a cool thing that, you know, all the labs we have and all the different professors who have their labs, whose labs we work in, that's very fun. Also, obviously, the GIEC is very good. This sports building, very good building. It's got the, and like the field house is actually great. The locker rooms are good. The having the whole gym, the weight room down there, it's you know, always at our disposal. I don't use it as much as I would like to, but I try to get in there sometimes. It's like the campus is, it's, you know, it's surrounded by the nature trail. Like the facilities at the school are just, it's everything that is there that we could possibly need. I think the track, like we're building a new outdoor track right now at this very moment. The indoor track is great. I like, it's the classrooms that I've been in, like the big lecture halls, like listening to these, you know, very like professors who have actually done like a lot of crazy cool work. It's almost more the people who like the way, like the people that we have here, the staff, the faculty, the way they use it almost makes it better than just like what's available, which is cool.
You actually went to the same high school as Tommy Burgeons.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any interaction?
We never really interacted. He was on the baseball team. I was on the track and cross country team. He was a year above me, so there was like, I never really got a chance like be in a class with him. But I did like contact him on Facebook when I was like looking at Haverford, and I saw that like the one person from our high school that ever matriculated Haverford was him. So I just asked him some questions about the school. You know, I say what's up. He wears Loyola t-shirts sometimes. I wear Loyola t-shirts sometimes. So, like, but, like, we never really interacted that much. More of a consequence of just, like, me not knowing, because our high school was 1,200 boys, so it's mm-hmm. a pretty big high school.
Yeah, but that's crazy having...
It is.
Having one kid who was drafted in the eighth round, having another All-American, it's, you know, two really good athletes coming from the same high school to the same college.
It's also good, I think, just, my high school is, like, kind of known in the LA area, like, being, like, really good at sports. Like, having two guys who are good at sports, but also, like, are going to this, like, you know, top college in the nation and, like, succeeding at sports there, too. It's kind of cool.
So, what are your plans after college?
I've thought about them, but I really haven't, like, acted on them very much. I do want to run professionally. That's the dream. Especially, like, the last, like, 2 or 3 years has really become, like, I could do this. So, my tentative plan right now is to take a year to really just like try to pursue running professionally, see if I can get like a contract with a company or, you know, shoot a company or anything. That will be, you know, the dream. Someone, you know, paying me to do what I love, which is to run. And I'm gonna try my hardest to make that work out. You know, maybe if I'm getting close, I can like sense that I'm getting close, I might take another year to try to do that. But after 2 years it doesn't look like I'll be able to do that. Then I want to pursue environmental studies, more like the environmental science side, because I'm also an environmental studies minor, but that's like a very multifaceted, like looking at both like the science side of the environment, but also like the social side, like, you know, policy and stuff. I'm more interested in the science side, so I'd like to go back to school and study that somewhere. But right now the kind of forefront of my mind is just, you know, running professionally.
Okay, so this part of the interview is just a couple of rapid-fire questions, and just give me the first thing that kind of pops into your head.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite sports team growing up?
Dodgers, for sure.
What is it like having Vince Scully as your broadcaster?
I love Vince Scully. I still have vivid audio memories of him, you know, calling out what was it when Steve Finley hit a grand slam to clinch the NL West, or when like Alex Cora hit a home run off of an 18 pitch at bat. Like, I still have those audio memories in my mind. I love Vince Scully.
The number one reason why I get the MLB TV package every year is to listen to Vin Scully do Dodgers games. I don't even like the Dodgers. I just love listening to
his
stories.
He's great. When I go to Dodger games, you know, sometimes we leave early just to kind of beat the traffic. If we knew the Dodgers were going to win or whatever, or even if they weren't, we just like had to get to bed. I was young. But we would listen. We turn on, he was like AM 710 or AM 1110. It switched 1 year. And we just listened to Vin Scully on the ride home, my dad and I, and it was you know, great, because you're still at the game with Vin Scully.
Right, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite stories is just this year where he's telling a story about Johnny Gomes being attacked by a bear. And he's telling the story, and, like, it just smooths right into the broadcast, and, like, he finishes the story right as Gomes rips a base hit the left, and he just transitions so well, and the stories he tells are just... It is great. I love listening to him.
Yeah.
What was your favorite movie growing up?
My favorite movie is definitely School of Rock with Jack Black.
Okay.
I've seen that movie probably 50 times, like not even exaggerating.
Okay. Favorite book?
Favorite book, I like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. That whole series is a very good series. And it's very funny. I think when I was growing up, my favorite book was City of Ember. Until I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Where's your favorite spot to go for a run?
I think my favorite spot to go for a run at Haverford, around Haverford. We do this run called Hill Loop, which kind of goes towards the Gladwin area. Some nice roads over there, all the big hills, and around there, there's other runs we have called Saunders, Rolling Hills, Spider Webs, a bunch of cool trails down kind of near the Schuylkill. Those are some very fun places. In LA, I like to run at Griffith Park, which is where the Hollywood sign is, and they have a lot of really good trail, fire roads there.
Do you listen to music when you go for a run, or?
I've never listened to music when I go out for a run.
Really?
Ever since, when I first started trying to train for cross country before my freshman year, I did three or four runs, and I brought my iPod on them. It didn't last very long. I don't listen to music when I run.
What is your favorite superhero or cartoon growing up?
My favorite cartoon growing up, which I guess he's also a superhero, was Freakazoid. It was on the WB. It was by the same guys who made Animaniacs. Steven Spielberg was involved. That was a really funny show. It's kind of zany. It kind of fit with my kind of humor.
What teammate would you most want to go for a run with?
Like right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Right now, it's raining. I probably want to run really fast, get out of the rain. I think my friend Mike Breyer. He's always down for a good quick pound through the rain. It's fun.
If you could be any TV or movie character, who would it be and why?
TV or movie character. That's a tough one. Don't watch much TV right now. At the moment. Looking at movies, gosh, I don't know. Michael. this popped in my head. Michael Cera's character from Arrested Development. What was it? George Michael. Yeah, he's kind of, I don't know. He's kind of a funny guy. I think that whole zany, dysfunctional family thing would be entertaining.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
Definitely telekinesis. It's just there's so many things you could do with it. You could just move stuff if it's heavy or from really far away. I don't know. I think it's almost definitely the best superpower.
If you could time travel, would you go to the past or future?
I'd probably go to the future just to find out if I'm going to the past, I'm just going to, try to impress people with, what I know. I don't know, maybe I could get rich, but, I'd be missing a lot of things that I like to have in my day-to-day life. The future would probably be pretty cool. It's always fun. You know, the future's a mystery, and you get to solve the mystery by going there.
You have a golden ticket and can go to any concert past or present. Who would the band be?
Ticket to a concert. I think I'd really like to go to, like, when Red Hot Chili Peppers played at Slane Castle. I have, like, that concert was, like, filmed, and it's, like, on this, like, music, like, TV channel, and, like, I just love it. It was, like, a really awesome concert, and, like, I have a bunch of this, like, the live songs on my iPod. I would love to go there.
You're going to a dinner and can invite three people past or present. Who would they be?
Three people to dinner. Andre the Giant seems like a kind of guy who'd be fun to have at dinner. Vin Scully, probably. He would also be awesome. And past or present. Probably some president. I'm going to go with James K. Polk, just because that was the first president that popped in mind.
Okay.
He died on my birthday. That's why it, like, pops in my mind always.
Okay. Would you rather be a hero or villain in the next great superhero movie?
It seems like more and more often these, like, superheroes in these movies are, like, just, like, aliens or, like, space aliens. I'd rather be a hero, probably. Not just to be a hero, but just, like, I don't know. It's good to be from Earth and not from somewhere else in the universe.
That's a good point. You are walking down the street one day and accidentally bump into yourself 10 years into the future. Where do you see yourself?
10 years in the future, I think probably on the tail end of my professional running career, but I think, you know, I'm continuing to, like, channel all my energy to running to, like, coaching. Maybe I'll be like an up-and-coming coach at some high school, which is, like, trying to build a program. That'd be cool. I still see myself as, you know, one of those young, fast guys, you know, guys who, not who, like, hang around the program, but, like, just, like, do their own thing.
What would you say, what advice would you give to the high school version of yourself?
Definitely get more sleep. I think I didn't sleep enough in high school, and that was partially a consequence of, like, losing a lot of time, like, commuting to school, but also just, like, goofing around the internet and, like, not doing my homework in a timely fashion. Sorry, Mom. Yeah, definitely just, like, work on time management. Definitely, like, listen to Mr. Caldwell in sophomore year English. He's a good teacher. I think the way he connects classes, like, how people should, like, study.
You had two All-American titles last year in the outdoor and in the indoor. What does it mean to you to be one of the best runners in Division III? Like, have you given that much thought, or?
Well, before I was an All-American, so I got my first All-American my sophomore year indoors in the distance medley. And, like, before that, you know, Tom's office is wallpapered with all these All-Americans, and you're just like, I want to be up there someday.
Right.
And so I worked really hard to, like, get up there. Like, I am, you know, now I'm up there 3 times. But once I, like, hit that point, it's no longer about, like, trying to be an All-American. Now it's just kind of like I've reached that stepping stone. And now I'm, you know, like, I'm reaching, like, not just, like, an All-American, of which there's a definitive number every year. Like, people are there's guaranteed your top 8 are going to be All-American. But now it's almost just, like, it's almost like that's not important, because certainly there are a bunch of guys on the team who really want to be All-American, who want to get there, and it is important to them. But for me now, it's almost just about, like, where can I get on, like, these all-time lists of which I'm on for the mile and the 1500. Like, that's almost what it's more about now, is, like, also I'm like, I want to win the title. That's, like, one step up. Like, being a runner-up twice is, like, okay, but, like, I almost won the title in the 15. And so now it's just, how high can I get on the all-time lists and try to win one. That's the whole point. When you land for a race, you try to win.
Thanks to Charlie for coming on to the Habit for Cause Athletics podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podomatic, or listen to on the Habit for Cause Athletics website. Please rate the podcast and feel free to provide feedback. Stay tuned as we'll have more fall athletes coming soon. Go Forts.